This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora, welcome to House Guest, where we chat with the awesome people and groups making a difference in our community, all from our non-profit home base at Dunedin Community House.
And joining us for today's edition of House Guests, we have Shirley Woodrow and Michael Jarker, and both of them are associated with the Otago Heritage Bus Society. We thought we'd find out a little bit more about the society, what it's all about, and what they do in their community. Kia ora, it's nice to have both of you with us. Thanks for coming in. Let's just say for a start, not many of us will know too much about the origins of the Otago Heritage Bus Society. So let's start there. Who's the expert on that? When was it first established?
Michael? I'll probably take up a bit of the history of it. It was established in 2011 as a group. The initial idea was to preserve one of the last Leyland buses that had run for the Dunedin City Council. And the Dunedin City Council Transport Department had basically run Leyland buses since its inception in 1925. And a group of like-minded individuals got together and decided this needs to be, the memory needs to be kept alive. And what better way to keep it alive than to actually buy and preserve one of the vehicles that had given service so many years to the council.
Now, those of us who are around when those final buses ran will remember them. Remind us of the colour scheme.
Originally, they started off in what was called tan and cream, or custard and mustard, some people call it, caramel and custard. Then they went into blue, then went to all over white. And of course, not forgetting that for many years in Dunedin, we had one of the Leyland Leopard buses was painted up as the iconic Tiger T bus.
Oh, indeed we did. And what sort of nick was that bus in when the society bought it?
194, when we first got it, wasn't too bad a condition. It was operable, but it had obviously been let go towards the end of its life, as most older near-retirement buses are. They're not maintained in sort of pristine state, but it was operable, and it's continued to be operable to this day, with minor alterations and work done on it here and there. It was given a coat of the tan and cream when we first got it in about 2011, 2012, and it still sports that same coat of paint today.
Michael, how long does your association with the society go back?
I joined it in 2016.
What attracted you to that?
Yeah. What attracted me to that? Well, it's a long story, but I'll keep it very, very brief. I've been interested in buses all my adult life, what you would call a bus enthusiast. Some people call us anoraks or grices, depending which school you went to. But I've been interested in buses for years. I was involved in the preservation of them when I lived in Auckland. And what attracted me to the fact is they down here they had buses not only being preserved, but they were being actively used.
Yeah.
Which
we'll come back to that. Shirley, your association with the Otago Heritage Bus Society, when did that start?
It started 6 years ago. I became the administrator. I had no interest in buses, and I still have no interest in buses per se. But when I became administrator, of course, you become involved in what's going on and what buses do this and what buses do that and where different ones can go. And since then, of course, I've actually got my bus driving licence, so I can do that as well now. But yeah, just basically secretary-treasurer.
That's a fairly big leap, Shirley, for someone who's had no interest in buses to suddenly get this certificate to drive one. It's in your blood now, Shirley.
Driving the buses is in my blood now. Yeah. I enjoy it, and a lot of the charters we do are fun things, and so it's really nice to see people having fun, taking them to weddings, celebrations, picking them up. How did the day go? Oh, it was wonderful, and speaking to them. And so that's part of it.
Yes. So, Michael, we started off with that one bus. Do we still have that one bus?
The one bus is still in the collection, 194 of Dunedin City Transport, is still the nucleus of the collection, but now we have something in the region of 40 buses in the collection, of which roughly half the collection is in a roadworthy condition.
That will stagger some people, I'm absolutely sure, because we try to imagine 40 buses all lined up somewhere. You must have your own depot somewhere.
Well, we do have a depot. It's commonly referred to as the farm, as it was a redundant farm out on Dukes Road north and North Tyree. And if you drive along past there, heading away from Gordon Road intersection, you can't miss the buses sitting in the paddocks there.
And where have these buses come from? Are they all out of the ex-Dunedin fleet or from further afield?
The collection policy is that most of them have Dunedin or Otago connections, but we do have buses that have come literally from Auckland right down to Invercargill.
So it's a case of if we think a bus has historic merit, we will look at it, even if it's not from Otago, because we're in the business of collecting and restoring buses.
And operating, as you've
and
said.
And operating.
And that's a really important part, because let's just move to that at the moment. You mentioned, Shirley, that there was an opportunity for people in the public to enjoy getting on these buses as part of their own excursions and so forth. Some will know about the service that's run on some of the public holidays, for example, the Christmas time and around that period. Give us a little bit of an overview of what kind of services are available now through the Otago Heritage Bus Society.
Okay, anybody can charter a bus, providing we have a bus and a driver available on the day they want it. Anybody can charter it. So some of the common ones are taking guests to weddings so that the guests don't have to drive their own cars out and back again late at night, particularly for some of the slightly more out-of-the-way places. Work dues, end-of-year dues, special birthdays, anything at all. We have quite a few ladies' friendship groups use it for outings. But we also have interest groups. So a recent one was the Lily Society, chartered a bus to go and view some bulbs at a person's property. We have ones that might, we do Rhythm and Alps every year, so we take buses up there and then use shuttle people to and from the concerts. So it can be anything.
I had the great joy of getting on one of these buses to go to a birthday celebration out of Hooper's Inlet, for example. That was definitely part of the fun of the whole thing for those who took the bus out there. It was the special nature of the bus, the conversations that happen as soon as you get on a bus, especially if you can recall being on them back in the day when they were running in service. Lots of questions. To be fair, some might not find them quite as comfortable and luxurious as your modern day buses that go from city to city, but you know, I just think that was all part of the charm of it. There must be some great conversations take place when people get on board.
We have people say, I remember going to school on a bus like this.
Yeah.
I've even had a wedding group where we picked the bride up and the bridal party and they decorated the bus. And then we went and picked up the guests. The bride's father used to drive that bus.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And he had died 6 months before. And so for them as a family, that was a really special moment.
Yes.
We have some people who will, we offer them old and rattly or a bit more comfortable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And some people will say, old and rattly, please. And so they are the 194, the original, 174, the one original.
194, 194, yes,
the original one. Bus. Or it could be one of the others, because we actually have, that was a Leyland Leopard, and we now have seven Leyland Leopards.
Six or seven.
And so they're of a similar age. So we have the old and rattlies, we have the slightly more comfortable, and we do have some that are aimed for longer trips, open road trips, and so they tend to be a bit more comfortable.
Michael, with so many buses in the collection and some still yet to become roadworthy, that would tend to suggest you've got members who are into the mechanics of it all?
Yes, we do have very competent mechanics, and also we have very competent coach building members. Because one of our buses in particular, we had to take one side apart and totally rebuild it. New framework, new panelling and everything, and that's just about to go back on the road fairly shortly. It's an old former Mount Cook Landliner bus, one of the Dennings locally built here.
What part do you play generally with getting these buses back on the road?
I do what I can. I do a lot of work in the preparation for painting. I have done body work on the buses before. I'm afraid I'm not mechanically minded. I don't know one end of a spanner from the other in terms of things like that. But I've got a great fund of historical knowledge. So when they're doing up a bus, they want to know what colour it was, or when they get a vehicle donated to us, oh, whose was it and what number was it? And I've generally got records of what it is. And I'm amassing, and I have been over many years, a very large photographic archive.
I know that you brought with you a buses. Folder today that contains at least some of that. And unfortunately, with it being radio, we can't show it to our listeners. Yes. But obviously, record keeping and reviving history and being able to tell the story is as important as anything else.
Well, one of my key, well, I think it's a key role in the society, is I compile a quarterly newsletter, which is what is in the folder. And that's it deals with the restorations we're doing. It has photographic coverage and everything like that. Talks about new vehicles we've acquired, and it also does talk about a lot of the trips that Shirley alluded to, like the family reunions, the weddings and stuff. Something that maybe, well, it's a wedding, but no, it's a bit out of the ordinary, yeah. So we'll cover that.
How many members at the moment?
Ooh, active members.
About 25, I think.
Yeah, about between 20 and 30.
A range of backgrounds. Are there any that have a history of driving these buses in the past?
Yes.
Well, I do. I drove for Dunedin City Transport, and my one proud boast to that is I was the last driver they ever took on as Dunedin City Transport before it became City Bus Limited.
So this has a special connection.
So it's a special connection, and that was another reason. I've always liked Dunedin, even though I was born and raised in Auckland. I've always liked living here. I still don't regret having moved down to Dunedin.
We have one life member who used to be a bus driver for years, and his one regret at the moment is medically he cannot drive a bus, but he does cleaning. And one day I drove a bus up to Oamaru. When we got up there, the bus played up. But I had to rush off to the toilet. When I came back, he had driven it from where it got stuck and turned it around. And he was just so happy that he'd been able to just drive that bus, which wasn't on a busy road or anything, just 100 metres up the road, because he has that passion for buses.
What do you put the public's fascination down to? I imagine part of it's a nostalgia for those who do recall the days when these buses were in service and they were riding themselves. But is there more to it than that? Is there aspect of community building around it, do you think?
I would say yes, there is, because it does. When we organise trips, we don't only do like the charters and things like that. We organise from time to time members' trips, which brings some of our diverse membership together. And I'd like to quote one of the most successful members' trip we did was we recreated a former bus route which ran from Frederick Street along the north end to Mount Mira, which many people may or may not have heard of Mount Mira. It's just up the hill beyond Normanby. And we took two buses. We originally were going to take one bus up there, but so many people turned up to do the trip, we hastily had to arrange a second one. And they're just local people who support us. They don't necessarily come and work on the buses and that. But they're keen, they take a keen interest in what we do, and they do support our trips.
Now, of course, from time to time, your membership gets to meet. And Shirley, tell us about that. How often does that happen and where do you meet?
The membership itself usually only meets when we're having an excursion or our AGM, or for those who are really community-minded at a working bee. Saturday, we're doing a shuttle service out to the Seafood Festival at Port Chalmers, and we will have about 10 buses on the road. So this last Saturday, we had a cleaning bee, cleaning the buses, sprucing them up, ready for next Saturday. And over that, we had a barbecue lunch for those who are out there. So it's occasions like that mostly, but the excursions as well.
You presumably have a committee. Does that meet on a regular basis?
Monthly, yes.
And where do you do that?
At my place. So that I don't have to pack up my computer and my folders and everything, my laptop and the folders and everything to take somewhere else. When I first went on the committee, we had it at somebody else's place, the chairman's place, and then one time something came up about where we have it next month. For some reason, he wasn't going to be available or something, and I said, can we have it here? So then I don't have to pack everything up and lug it, because I take folders that I might need because somebody will ask something. And so now it's at home, I can just go to another folder if I need to during the meeting.
Now, Rob Tiger from Dunedin Community House said, you need to speak to these people. So you've obviously had a connection with Community House as well, Shirley?
I've had a very long connection with Community House from day one.
Yes.
It's one of the first tenants that moved in on day one. And I was there until I retired 10 years ago, working in Community House. I still visit Community House regularly as a JP for the JP clinic on a Monday that is held here.
Yeah. A wonderful community facility, albeit in a different location from where you started, Shirley. And here we are now at 43 Princess Street with all sorts of things going across three levels at Dunedin Community House. So do remember there are meeting rooms available for you of various different sizes. If you want to have a special gathering, that might be a possibility for you. If you just need a space to work out of for an afternoon or a morning and need access to Wi-Fi, all of that stuff is there as well.
And we get and to meet we ha- Sorry. Yes. We have used an interview room when we were interviewing for a paid position. And it was really good. Everything was here.
It's nice to, just to be able to know you can book a space where everything you need is on hand. And, of course, for not-for-profits and community-based organisations, the rates are pretty competitive, really right in the heart of the city. Well, we're getting into the spring and summer months now. I suppose we're getting into the excursion period, are we, for Otago Heritage Bus Society? Does it look busy over the next little while?
We're getting into the wedding ceremony.
Of course. Wedding season, yes.
The wedding season goes from October through till March, April. And so that's about to start. We're also getting into cruise ships. So we will be running a tour that connects up with some other shorter excursions. We bring people into town, let them do the shorter excursion, give them free time, and then pick them up and give them a little tour around Dunedin before we take them back to the ships. So we're involved with that. And Christmas lights. Christmas lights is a big one for us. Mm-hmm. It goes over, I think this year it's 6 nights, and each of those nights we usually have 4, 5, 6 buses, depending on how many tickets are sold.
So plenty coming up.
Yes, yeah. That started off, I can just come in on that, the Christmas lights. I remember I drove on the first one, I think we did 2 nights with 1 bus. And it's like Shirley says, now we're doing 5, 6 nights, almost continuous. But we've actually got 2 sets of Christmas lights tours going, because there's some based out of the Otago Museum ones, and there's also the Tyree Society. You've got one that we've based
Network.
In Tyree Network, sorry, yes, based in and around Mosgiel.
Yeah. Michael, one final question for you. Among the fleet at the moment, you have a favourite?
Oh, amongst the fleet, do I have a favourite? Yes, one of the Leopards, I would have to say, is my favourite, is 180. It was the first of what they call the Hess Leopards to be built. It's the one that's got the high-backed seats in it. It was a combination vehicle. It was built for working around town, but it also, because it had an extra gear and a high-ratio diff, it did open road work, and it will still comfortably do 90 to 95 kilometres an hour along the open road.
Oh, great stuff.
And that. So it's a fantastic vehicle. In its service days, when I drove it, it was the pick of the bunch, and to me it still is.
Each and every one of them comes with its own story, I'm absolutely sure.
Totally.
Just finally, Shirley, if people want to find out more about the Otago Heritage Bus Society, if they'd like to support it anyway, even talk about membership or indeed to book an excursion, what should they do?
Okay, we have a Facebook page. And so they can look on there. They can also see pictures of buses on there. Or they can send us an email. And our email address is our full name. So Otago Heritage Bus Society @gmail.com.
Shirley and Michael, thanks so much for taking some time to join us here for House Guest today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Dunedin Community House is a shared home for non-profits in the heart of Dunedin at 43 Princes Street, just off the Octagon. Are you interested in delivering for your community and need a desk, an office, storage or meeting space? Get in touch with us at Dunedin Community House on 03 471 6150. Email info@dch.org.nz or visit dch.org.nz for more information. We'd love you to join our community.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.